MZTV.
Greetings, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. How often do I go into 2 Peter chapter 3? Okay, I've been told not often at all. Well, today, I'm going to do just that. And we're going to discover some things about the end times and our attitude towards the judgments that will be coming upon this earth that will eventually lead to righteousness. I was really, after I made the video on running, that was Monday, I felt squeamish about it. Like, it just seemed a little self-serving to me, and I worried about that. I recorded it on Sunday when I was literally running all day. As I told you, I ran 32 miles that day in preparation for another run. So, and I had to record a show that same day. And so I was running all day. I had to make a show. I couldn't ignore it. So I just thought, well, I can't ignore that I'm going through this thing. I'm just going to talk about it. But then afterwards, I felt really sheepish. And I didn't even read the comments the next day because I was just kind of embarrassed about it. Like, why did I just talk about myself? But then today, I read the comments. I read the comments today, and so many of you were benefited by that. So thank you so much for saying so. It really buoyed me because I was feeling kind of flat about it. So I am happy to have encouraged you. And again, it's not about any heroic physical activity at all. It's just moving. But I know some people, they have this idea, well, when the weather gets better, I'll go. When I get better shoes, I'll go. I can't go because I don't have the right hat or my schedule is this. I mean, I believe me, I know this. There are so many excuses not to go out and move. And I'm just talking about, oh, and most people think they have this performance anxiety, like other people are going to see them. Folks, if you could see me being passed by women with strollers, with dogs and kids, and people twice my age, that's right, 130-year-olds are passing me. So it's not about how you look, it's about moving. And somebody mentioned they fought depression one time by bicycling, and I really appreciated that because I do this not for my body. I mean, my body's not so spectacular. I'm doing it for my mind. I'm doing it for my peace. I'm doing it for my sanity. There is something Zen-like about this repetitive motion when your body and mind are working together. And the simplest way to do that is to walk. Just to look up a guy named Edward Payson Weston. This is one of my heroes. He lived in the 1800s. He lived into the early 1900s. There was a big sport back then called pedestrianism, where these men, it was like the Super Bowl of today. These men would compete in Madison Square Garden. They would go around a cinder track for 6 days and see how many miles they could accrue. It was a lost era of Americana, really, and it's so cool to look into it. But anyway, one of the champions of that day, Edward Weston, he ended up after his competitive days, he would walk. And at age 71, he walked across the United States. And at age 72, he did it again. And so for anybody who's in their 70s or even their 80s, you can do something, but you don't have to. That's the thing. Nobody's saying you have to. I understand all the reasons why not to do it. And I hate sometimes going out, but I do it anyway, just because I know it feels so good. And sometimes it's only as good as this, that it feels so good when it stops. But it really does. That small investment, just go out for 5 minutes. Don't expect anything of yourself. Just say, I'm going to go out for 30 seconds. And then maybe that 30 seconds will eventually turn into 2 minutes, and that 2 minutes might turn into a mile, who knows? It's just going out and doing it and not waiting for the ideal circumstance because you're never going to get it. So thank you for your comments. You made me feel much better about that video. And secondly, the conference in Kansas City, Missouri is coming up. It's still a while off, but don't think of it that way. because I think the deadline for registration is the first week of April. It's in Kansas City, Missouri, first weekend of May. And there will be a link under this show today and every day until the conference. The folks who are putting on this conference, Paula and Greg and Mark the Pirate, they are doing a bang-up job. Great organizational zeal these folks have, and they have all the information I think you could want. And the link to that information, where, when, how long, what's it about, how do I get a room, how much will it cost, where's the venue, everything. It's going to be right by the airport, the venue, by the way. It's going to be such a convenient conference. It's in the middle of the country, and it's right near the airport, from what I understand. So underneath this video, look for the conference link. There's a little tab under there that says show more or something. Just hit that tab and wonderments will open up to you. Wonderments. So click on the link and I would love to see you in Kansas City. Well, I'd rather see you in the air, but if the Lord tarries, I don't think he's going to tarry. I really don't think he's going to tarry. And that brings me to the topic of the day. 2 Peter 3. Boy, Peter gets to announce some very startling things here in the scriptures. He says in chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that in the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing. Well, you have to expect scoffers to scoff. That's kind of what they do. Scoffers will be coming with scoffing, but the scripture doesn't, Peter doesn't take it for granted that you know what scoffers do. So he's being very thorough here, explaining that in the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires. We see this today, even in the body of Christ. Not you, other people in the body of Christ. And saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers, this is still the people scoffing. The first thing they say is, where's the promise of his presence? Then they say, for since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. And that's the end of their quote. Peter's quoting them there. But Peter says, verse 5, they want to be oblivious of this, that there were heavens of old, and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. I say, wow, that's some pretty mysterious language there. Well, it's different, but we can dissect it. Peter's not talking about the flood of Noah here. What do you mean? Martin, it says, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. That's obviously Noah's flood. It is not. Why? Because the scoffers were not oblivious of that. They knew about Noah's flood. Peter starts this by saying they want to be oblivious. These scoffers, they want to be oblivious of this. What Peter's talking about is the disruption of the world. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant, and it was overwhelmed by water, and the earth cohered out of the water when the Spirit of God vibrated upon that water. I know this is the disruption of the world. Peter calls it the then world because in the previous chapter, verse 5, he says, God spares not the ancient world, but guards Noah, an eighth, a herald of righteousness, bringing a deluge on the world of the irreverent. So, in chapter 2, verse 5, he's talking about the flood of Noah, and he calls it the ancient world. Notice the beautiful difference in language. This is the benefit of a sound translation. Noah's flood was the ancient world. This is called through which the then world being deluged by water. It's the then world. This was the world before the flood of Noah. This was the earth before the flood of Noah. The then world. Now, there's a key in Ephesians 2:2, kind of like a Rosetta Stone thing, where Paul talks about the eon of this world. An eon is a period of time. A world, Greek word cosmos, is the system during which an eon transpires. So the eon of this world is the time period supporting the system that now exists. And for every world, there's a corresponding eon. And for every eon, there's a corresponding world. This is how we know that there was an eon before the flood of Noah, because it's called a world, called the then world. If there's a world, there's an eon. World has to do with space, spatial considerations, eon with time. So the ancient world came about when the land cohered out of the water following the destruction of the then world. We are getting some heavy duty information here. But the whole point is to tell these scoffers that, oh, there's been big changes. You're oblivious of these changes. You scoffers with your scoffing. You think that because you've lived your life in relative peace and nothing's happened, therefore nothing will happen. Peter wants to assure you, oh, things have happened. And when they are ready to happen, they happen. But the scoffers are going according to their own desires. They don't want to be disrupted. Never mind the disruption of the earth. They don't want their family lives disrupted, their business lives disrupted, their happiness disrupted. They don't want to be disrupted, not even for the coming of Christ. And so they will try to find scriptures to put off the coming of Christ, and they will scoff at us. I'm thinking particularly, I'm sorry to have to mention a name. I wasn't going to do it here. Clyde Pilkington is one of these scoffers. And I hate to say this, and yet I must prepare you. For if you go to read some of Clyde's things, you will hear him scoffing at those who think that the presence of the Lord is soon, or those hoping for the presence of the Lord. He thinks us to be escapists. We just want to get out of our trials. Well, no kidding. Who doesn't want to get out of their trials? Do you want to get out of your trials? Raise your hand. But you think for a second that God is going to let you get out of any necessary trials? Shake your head. No, of course not. I just have to warn you that not everyone in the body of Christ wants to see the return of Christ in their lifetimes. I had a friend tell me who came under Clyde Pilkington's teaching that he says, I'm at peace that I'm going to die. I said, but scripture says we shall not all die. And I've been through how that is explained away by the other side. And this guy was talked into the idea that he was at peace and that he looked at death as a preferable thing to being snatched away. He was talked out of the snatching away. Somebody, Clyde, traded for him the snatching away for death, and he bought it. He bought it. I don't want to say his name or his friend's name because I don't know that he's made this confession, this new belief public, so I will not say his name. I criticize public ministries that I think are making huge mistakes and it affect people negatively and need to be called out. So if I don't say the name, I'm not doing you a service. And I live to do you a service. Let's go on in 2 Peter. Yet the heavens now and the earth by the same word. There it is. By the same word of God that brought about the disruption of the world. That ended Eon 1 and Cosmos 1 and brought in Eon 2. That is the new world. By that same word. The heavens now and the earth. The heavens and earth you're so familiar with and you love. I mean, there's parts of this world that are okay. But this eon crucified the Son of God. How in love can somebody be with it? How okay could somebody be with an eon that crucified God's Son? We are treading on the same soil soaked with the blood of the Son of God. And we're okay with it? No, nobody listening to my voice is okay with that. And we want to see irreverent men come to an end. And that's what Peter's talking about here. He's talking about something that believers should be able to get behind, that irreverence will come to an end. People mocking God will stop. God will put an end to it, not by gradual reforms, but by sudden destruction. Yet the heavens now and the earth by the same word are stored with fire. The earth you're sitting on is stored with fire. How did Peter know in the first century that earth has a molten core? Stored with fire, being kept for the day of the judging and the destruction of irreverent men. Remember, it is not Peter's calling to talk about the consummation and the reconciliation of all things. The conciliation of all things and the eventual reconciliation of all things. That's Paul's ministry. That's Paul's gospel. Peter doesn't go that far. John doesn't go that far either. John takes us to the new heavens and the new earth. But even at that late date in the Aeonian calendar, we still have people in the second death. Only Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks of death shall be abolished. That God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28. We want to see the destruction of irreverent men. We should want that. Peter is promising it. It doesn't mean they're not saved eventually, these irreverent people. I'm sure it's irreverent humans in the Greek text here. The Concordant version corrected that. They put human there, which it should be. That's what it is in the literal Greek text. We should want to see that, knowing that these people are eventually saved. We just want to see them come to the end of their irreverence. And it'll be a great relief to them, too, to the irreverent people. Verse 8, now of this one thing, you are not to be oblivious. If you guys have to be oblivious, you scoffers, if you have to be oblivious about the heavens, the then world, and the heavens of old which perished, then try not to be oblivious of this, that one day is what the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This does not mean that it's a long ways off. It means that it's a short ways off, because what is causing the scoffers to trip is the time expired. The time weakens people. The time that has gone by, right? It sometimes does that to us too. It weakens people. Weakens their resolve, weakens their trust in the promises of God. And so Peter is saying that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day, to tell you that the 2,000 years that have transpired from Christ are to God like 2 days. So it's nothing to him. It's not like he's forgotten his promises. That's the point. The Lord is not, and here we go. Like I said, it's about promises. Verse 9, the Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness, even in Peter's day. Can you imagine in Peter's day? People who had actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ with their own eyes thought he was tarrying an awful long time. Where's the promised kingdom? And they mocked Peter. They mocked Christ. They probably mocked the whole scriptures. They mocked the scriptures. Where is the promise of his coming? This is exactly what they said. Where's the promise of his presence? Huh? You told us he was coming back. Where is it? For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus. That's what you think, you oblivious morons. The Lord is not tardy as to the promise, as some are deeming tardiness, but is patient because of you. Now we're in the relative world now. Patient because of you, not intending any to perish. This is his revealed will. This is what Peter is exhorting the believers to live, seemly lives, not wantonly, not doing things at night, trying to hide like Jonah tried to hide from God by going into a big boat. Unless you want to get eaten by a fish, I wouldn't do that. Now, nobody's going to get eaten by a fish today, but God has other ways of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Wake up. We are living letters of Christ. We are to be that. Not intending any to perish, but all to make room for repentance. And Peter's gospel, again, was one of repentance. This is Peter. This is the caretaker of the gospel of the circumcision. Galatians 2:7, Paul says that clearly. Peter, of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision, and part of Peter's gospel, a big part of it was repentance and baptism. We don't have to repent or be baptized because we're under a different gospel. Read Galatians 2:7. Paul calls one gospel the gospel of the circumcision, the other one his gospel, the gospel of the uncircumcision. One gospel, you have to be repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In another gospel, you don't have to repent or be baptized. You're justified from your sins. God's not even counting your sins against you. There's nothing to repent from in God's mind. Well, way different. Lots of other differences. Read my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. It will be explained to you in luscious, lengthy detail. Verse 10, now the day of the Lord will be arriving as a thief, in which the heavens shall be passing by with a booming noise, yet the elements shall be dissolved by combustion, and the earth and the works in it shall be found. Oh, I love this. The earth and its works in it shall be found. All the dirty deeds done dirt cheap, all the deviousness of this world, it's all going to be found. It's all going to be located when everything's going to be stripped bare and exposed. I can't wait to be stripped bare and exposed before Christ and God. I can't. Wait, I got nothing to hide, which doesn't mean that doesn't mean at all that I haven't done wrong things or that I haven't sinned. It just means that I'm yours and I trust you, like David, trusting God. But we don't look forward to judgment because we're not coming into judgment. David was judged for what he did. We're not even judged. So, because we're under the transcendent grace of God. So in one verse, Peter goes from the day of the Lord, which is starts with the tribulation and continues through the 1,000 years. The day of the Lord will be arriving as a thief, in which during that day, he's skipping ahead 1,000 years now, listen to this, in which the heavens shall be passing by with a booming noise. That happens after the 1,000 years. Yet the elements shall be dissolved by combustion, and the earth and the works in it shall be found. But that doesn't happen because we need the earth here. At least Israel does, to put up her temple and to have a 1,000-year kingdom of righteousness in which Jesus Christ is the chief priest. David is king. The apostles are running the temple proper. 144,000 are taking the message of Christ and the kingdom to the four corners of the earth. It'll be a beautiful thing. You need the earth to do that. But this earth after that will be dissolved by combustion, and the earth and the works in it shall be found. Verse 11. This was my main point of the whole thing, but this is a great history of the Aeonian times here, actually what we're doing here today. But listen to this. At these all then, dissolving, like all this stuff's going away, anything that is, that you might consider a prop, will be going away. But even things that we enjoy, like my running, is going to go away. That's okay. I'm good with it. Milky Way bars are going to go away. It's okay. I'm good with it. This is why. Watch. All these then dissolving, to what manner of men must you belong in holy behavior and devoutness? Yes, we all want that, and we extol one another. We exhort one another to holy behavior, that is, behavior belonging to people separated by God. Not that we have to, understand. We don't do it because we have to. That was the law of Moses. We do it because we're so thankful to God that he saved us by grace. Holy behavior and devoutness. Hoping for, this is it, verse 12. Hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day, because of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved and the elements decomposed by combustion. Hoping and hurrying, hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day. Wait a minute. Didn't you say right before this that the irreverent men are going to be, irreverent humans are going to be destroyed, and that the earth is going to be dissolved by combustion, and there's going to be a booming noise and all this fire and explosions, and now you're telling us in verse 12, we should be hoping for and hurrying the presence of the Lord. Yes, we are to be hoping for this. We're not to say, well, this is terrible, it sounds awful, it's going to be loud, the booming noise, the earth melting, oh, the earth and its works are going to be found, irreverent men are going to be stopped in their tracks. Oh, we don't want that to happen anytime soon. There are people in the body of Christ who think this way. We don't want that to happen anytime soon. We hope it's a long way off, and we'll grasp at any strange teaching which promises to put it off, like Otis Sellers' crazy teaching that there's a pre-Israel kingdom that's going to last 500 years. Oh, don't worry. Return of the Lord isn't for 500 years. This is what the other camp that I mentioned earlier is teaching. It's wrong. It comforts. This is going according to their own desires. These are the scoffers spoken of in verse 3 of 2 Peter 3, going according to their own desires. Their desires for a long, prosperous life. Hearth and home. Nothing against hearth and home, but Peter's saying here that we're to be hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day. God's day is eon number 5. The Lord's day is eon number 4. The millennium begins with the day of indignation, also called the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. That's also called the Lord's day. So the Lord's day is somewhat of a broad appellation that applies to the tribulation and the coming kingdom. We're currently in man's day. I don't know if you noticed this, but man's day kind of sucks. Hey, this is man's day. The tribulation begins the Lord's day. The Lord's day continues for 1,000 years. Short time of birth pangs. Short time compared to 1,000 years. 3.5 years, the worst of the birth pangs. And then, boom, the baby comes out. And the baby lives for 1,000 years. That's good. That is the Lord's day. And God's day is the following eon. God's day is eon 5. And Peter's talking about it here over and over again. A new heavens and a new earth. This current earth will be combusted by fire. Boom. New heavens. New earth. And John talks about it in the unveiling, chapter 21. Paul goes past that. John doesn't get past Peter here doesn't get past the destruction of irreverent men. Neither does John. Paul does. All the irreverent humans, at this time, during the fifth eon, the new heavens and the new earth, will be in the lake of fire, which is what? Everybody together. The second death, right? Revelation 20:14. I got some great news for those who might think, oh boy, the second death, that sounds awful. Well, it's just death. I mean, people aren't conscious there. They're not suffering. There's only three supernatural beings tormented alive in the lake of fire. You find that on Revelation 20, verse 10, the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. But it's not called the second death until verse 14, when humans are cast there. Now it's called the second death, because for humans can't live very long in fire. And they're pretty much overcome by the fumes before that. Probably be hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day, because of which the heavens being on fire will be dissolved. And the elements decomposed by combustion. Yet we, according to his promises, are hoping for new heavens and new earth. That's the farthest reaching expectation Peter had. The new heavens and the new earth. Because with every earth, there's a corresponding heaven. With every eon, there's a corresponding cosmos. With every earth, there's a corresponding heaven. There have been three earths and three heavens, and there are five eons and five corresponding cosmoses, or would it be cosmi? What's the plural of cosmos? I don't know for sure. I'll look into that for you. But we are above even the highest heavens, the on heavens. The celestial realm is on the third heaven. On, I believe, it's even higher. So that's our destiny. That's our destination. And he finishes this way. Verse 13 again, we, according to his promises, are hoping for a new heavens, new earth, in which righteousness is dwelling. But you got to get rid of the unrighteousness first. The hard part first, then luxuriating in the righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, hoping for these things, endeavor to be found by him in peace. Yes, endeavor to be found by him in peace. I want you to have peace, just like Peter wants you to have peace. There's a transadministrational truth that we want to live in peace. Peace.